Welcome to the Breaking Through Podcast with Aaron Teach, where we explore how to live a spiritual life in modern times. Today I'd like to talk about decision making, because in my practice, a large part of what I'm doing with people is helping them navigate difficult choices at crossroads in their lives. And by doing this with people for as long as I have, there seem to be very common pitfalls and misconceptions that come up that impede the decision-making process.
Okay.
In a kind of macro view, with whatever we're doing, but particularly with decision-making, one of the key things is to figure out how to lower the stakes. If the stakes feel very, very high, then that pressure tends to be very paralyzing. And so one of the overall strategies that we need to take in coming to decisions is figuring out, on reflection, how to lower our sense of the consequences of the choice.
Yeah, that sounds like something I want to learn about.
So one of the first that I find is that a lot of people seem to come to the table with a preconception that there is a singular right answer to their fork in the road.
Yes.
That it's a black and white choice, and if they go left and left is the right answer, then things will work out well. And if they go right and it's the wrong answer, then things will go very poorly. And so the decision making is this assessment and rumination over trying to choose, in quotes, the right choice.
And so how do you lower the stakes from that? Because that's how every decision feels to me.
It's about broadening our understanding of reality. That in general, I think we tend to get caught up in the trees and lose our perspective of the forest. In the sense that when we come to a point in the road with a decision, it feels like the entire road stops on that decision, and we lose track of the fact that there's a much longer road in store for us ahead. So rather than seeing, in kind of mental imagery, the road ending with a single fork left or right, and if you go the wrong way, you're going to fall off a cliff, to see instead a range of branching decisions and options that have equally potential outcomes. So a good example of someone who I've been working with recently was at a crossroads in her career, trying to go decide whether to go back and be a journalist or whether to pursue a PhD, which was something that she was interested in, or even potentially spearhead her own project in writing a book. And there was a lot of uncertainty over navigating amongst these three different choices. And part of the pitfall she was running into was each choice felt like she had these three fixed positions and had to choose amongst them. But in reality, it's much more accurate to think of this scenario as three first options and trying to weigh which option she's most inclined towards moving to next. And if that doesn't work out, we always have an opportunity to pivot in one way or another. It is true that we can't always backtrack perfectly, and it is true that when we make choices, we sometimes lose opportunities. But we always have an opportunity for pivoting. Mm. And so these three options that she's weighing at this moment, none of them are in their abstract form going to fully go away. It's about making one of the choices, and if it's working, then great, and that will unfold in its tree towards a whole bunch of other options and decisions. And if it's not working, recognizing there's a way for her to pivot back towards, in one way or another, one of these two other options for her. And if we can develop that kind of sense of freedom and opportunity in our baseline approach to decision making, then it creates a lot more flexibility. It feels very different to say, I've got three exciting, compelling options. At the moment, I feel most inclined towards going back to school and getting a PhD and realizing that that will lead to new decisions and opportunities. And if it's not working, you can always go back to the other two. Then feeling one of these three is the right answer and I need to figure it out. And if I make the wrong choice, my entire professional life is down the drain.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there might be consequences to doing your first choice and then pivoting, right? You might lose the money that you spent on tuition or whatever, but you probably learned something as well, something really valuable.
I'm not denying that there are costs to our decisions. There are, and we need to take our decisions seriously. And obviously, there's a range in ways in which people engage in decision-making. So there are plenty of people who are, I would consider, somewhat frivolous in their decision-making and not really contemplating potential consequences. I find, and maybe it's self-selective in the people who I work with and the nature of the work that I do, that people tend to be stuck in overthinking through their decision-making processes. And this idea of a singular right answer is a very common sticking point in that process.
So it's sort of like instead of thinking, okay, there's one right answer here, which one is the right answer? It's more like, okay, I've got dinner to cook, so which part of dinner do I want to cook first? Like, which one most excites me? Why don't I cook this one first and try that? I mean, it's not the perfect analogy, but it helps me get away from that idea of right and wrong, when it's sort of like, oh, these are just options, and all of them are somewhat enticing to me.
Exactly. I think it's actually a good analogy. And people seem to run into no shortage of problems at a restaurant trying to choose between menu items, but I think it's a great example of where we can develop that attitude, that it's a meal for one night. And if you don't get a great meal, you can come back to this restaurant and choose another one. And if you don't get a chance to come to this restaurant because you're in New Orleans for one night, you'll go to another restaurant with lots of other meals. This will not be your last meal. And so there's a sense of less consequence in having to sort between your three favorite dinner options.
Yeah.
And I think that analogy plays well in any decision.
But into this idea of lowering the stakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the second pitfall that commonly comes up is aiming for certainty in our decisions. This idea that when we're uncertain, we want the balance scale between our, let's say, two options to be 100% to zero. And we feel like our process of weighing the criteria for these two decisions is about trying to sort things so it gets to that 100 and zero. In reality, life is much more complex than that. And in real life decision making,
we don't always feel 100% good.
Not always. I think virtually never do we end up with a scenario where it's 100 and zero. And that's what makes it so confusing. But part of what amplifies that confusion is the expectation
that there's a right answer.
That we're aiming for 100 to zero. So this is a kind of
spin-off of the right and wrong.
Spin-off of the right and wrong idea.
Right. It's true because, you know, we all think like, okay, there's got to be a right answer here for my destiny or for my fate or whatever. And then when you make a decision and it doesn't feel 100% right, then you start thinking, well, maybe I made the wrong choice. Maybe this was the wrong choice to make. But really, what I hear you saying is there's no black and white. There's no right and wrong. And you pick the one that excites you the most, and maybe it excites you. Maybe once you make that decision, it feels, you know, about 70% right, but 30% still feels a little off. Doesn't mean you made the wrong decision. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and sometimes it's not about excitement. So someone who I've been working with recently is in the process of contemplating a divorce. And there have been a lot of challenges within the marriage for a very long time that at this point are clearly unresolvable. And they have young children together. So this is a very good example of where there are very strong pros and cons to either choice and very real life consequences to others for making that choice. Mm-hmm. And so part of the exploration here is weighing those pros and cons to figure out where that scale balances. in this case, part of the exploration, and this is kind of going down a particular tree, but I do find for a lot of people, and this is a very common scenario, especially with young children, the desire to sustain a relationship in order to avoid hurting the children. But without recognizing that the dynamics and challenges within the marriage inevitably trickle down to how the children perceive what's going on. And there's a consequence to that as well. But that's kind of a side issue here. I think for our relevance here, this it's a good example of where this is not 100 and 0. And so what you're inevitably doing is weighing all of the factors that are involved and then seeing where the scale balances and learning that we often are looking for a 55-45 balance, a 60-40 balance. Once we weigh our options, it's about just realizing where we're leaning and learning to let leaning be enough. And to expect that that's all that we're looking for. And then to couple that with the previous idea that once we identify where we're leaning, let that be enough, and move in that direction with an awareness that there's an opportunity to pivot regardless of how this unfolds.
Yeah.
That you don't hit a button and now a sequence continues and it either works out well or not. You're still there. You're still present. You're still taking in data and information, and you have opportunity to make changes and adjustments.
Right. You can always change your mind. You may not be able to reverse perfectly what you've done, but you can always change your mind.
Or, at the very least, you have an opportunity based on how these circumstances adjust and change, based on the decision that you made, to make new decisions that reorient the situation.
Yeah.
So we always are making choices and engaging with a dynamic and an environment and a set of circumstances and relationships around us. And when we make a decision, it reshapes those, but then we have a new opportunity to re-engage in that new set of circumstances.
Yeah.
And this perspective allows for so much more fluidity and flexibility, which is what reality is, rather than a set of switches that turn on and off with binary choices.
Yeah. I like that concept of collecting data. Is that we're just always making the decision that feels, you know, a little more than 50%, right? If you're stuck between two really hard choices, you lean towards the one that feels a little bit better. And then once you lean there and make the choice, then you collect data from that new vantage point and collect more data. And then you maybe lean somewhere else or make a different choice. And
yeah,
I like that idea of collecting data to just sort of feel how you feel now after you've made the choice, you know,
which brings us beautifully into the third point, which is minimal reflection, quick action.
Minimal reflection?
Deeper reflection. This is a three-part sequence here. So okay. Our tendency is to want to do a lot of pre-decision reflection and analysis under, again, the auspices of there is a right and wrong answer here and I can figure that out and I need to figure it out for my survival.
Right, we want to ruminate.
We want to analyze it. The point where we get it right, and then hopefully we make the right decision, period.
So and that's everything's hunky-dory perfect.
Normal decision-making theory, intuitively in our minds, is deep reflection leading to singular action, leading to outcome out of our, outcome out of our hands.
Oh.
Hopefully works out great, potentially works out terribly. Out of our hands at that point. Mm. And that's what we're trying to re-script.
So that's what's wrong. That's what we've got wrong.
That's the problem.
Okay.
The solution as a process is instead relatively little reflection, action, longer reflection on that action. So what do I mean? We simply don't know how something is going to turn out until we do it. It's a fact of life. The data we need to know whether a decision is working or not, or is going to work or not, comes from taking the action itself. Until that moment, we don't know. So we're dealing with data that is, by definition, incomplete before we make a decision. Knowing that, there's no sense in doing deep, extensive reflection. Because no matter what happens, when you get the data from the actual experience, you are going to somehow, guaranteed in one way or another, have a new perspective that leads to some different insight. So our goal then needs to be to take action as soon as we can. So we need to start by dealing with the data that we have. Let's go back to the example of the person who was weighing these different job options. They're not all equal, and they each have their pitfalls and things that she's more drawn to and not, and taking a fair amount of time to sort through the pluses and minuses of each, what her long-term goals are, what her fears are, what are the costs and the benefits of moving in different directions is important. I'm not saying you take 5 seconds or 5 minutes. You take a fair amount of time to work through your options. But there's a certain point where you've done as much as you can. And once you've reached that point with this overall understanding of aiming for relatively minimal, at least not comprehensive and totally thorough analysis, because it's impossible, you then make the decision. You take the action.
You pick one of the choices.
And you do it. And the moment you do that, something starts happening because you made that decision. And maybe what's happening, you love. And maybe what's happening, you don't love. Maybe it's going well. Maybe it's going poorly. Most of the time, you're going to get a mixed bag of both things. And out of that mixed bag, you then analyze more deeply the mixed bag that's the tangible outcome of actually taking the action, of actually making the decision.
Analyze the mixed bag of life.
Exactly. And then you can see, having taken the decision, what's working or what's not, and then you pivot. You're always going to pivot because you're going to get new data from having made the decision. And the more that we can expect that and anticipate that, the freer we are up front, the sooner we move to action, the closer we get to an optimal outcome, which is always a process of revising our decision-making tree based on the data we accumulate by going through the tree in our experience.
So it's like a more in-depth way of saying trial and error. Everything in life is trial and error.
Exactly. 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 So this idea, when we're faced at a moment of choice, we weigh the options knowing we have limited data. We don't look for 100 and 0. We look for a tip in the balance and a substantial, consistent way. And as soon as we can, we take the action on the side where we're leaning, where we're inclined.
It's a little bit above 50%.
Hopefully more, but sometimes that's all we got. And once we make that decision, rather than engaging it with a sense of finality, we engage it with a sense of beginning. That this is the moment we begin to collect our best data on this choice.
And that it's okay that it doesn't feel 100% okay.
We knew it wouldn't. It never can. And we begin to look at, well, now that we've made the choice, what's working and what's not. And from this data, we have enough. This is where we do deep reflection after action that then guides us in how to pivot. How can we adjust the outcome of the decision we made to make it better? And then we make those adjustments at that point. And we're constantly dialing in and adjusting based on the decisions that we make over time. And it's actually the beauty and the excitement of life. I can't comment on whether we have destiny or not, But if we do, it sure would be boring to know every outcome of every instance. And if there is such a thing as destiny, then the best way to structure that I could imagine would be being in this maze of life and turning the lights off and giving us a match that lets us see 3 feet in front of us only, so that we have to train and leverage the talents and built-in mechanics we have as human conscious beings to make decisions and navigate our way in life. That is what life is. A set of decisions navigating with imprecise data as we move forward into the unknown. And utilizing reflection, rationality, intuition, creativity are our tools that in many ways life is a training ground for developing. If you enjoyed this podcast and you'd like to find out more about my offerings, including one-on-one phone-based sessions and retreats and workshops, you can find out more on my website, aaronteach.com. That's www.aaronteach.com. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a review and make sure to share it with your friends. Talk to you next time.